Good afternoon. We are back with the 11-Minute Podcast. This is Tim Lilly, and I'm joined once again by
Ben Ladane.
And today we are lucky enough to have Dylan Mitchell, who is pioneering in the field of electrical engineering. So Dylan, why don't you introduce yourself, tell us what you're doing, tell us what's cool going on in the electrical engineering realm.
Yeah, thanks, guys. So Dylan Mitchell, founder at Cowabunga Studios, done over $750 million in commercial construction of pretty much every building type. Industrial, schools, hospitals, offices, you name it, designed it, led teams in it, both on the electrical side and on the MEP side. Really got tired of basically doing drafting and designing of all those rooms over and over again, especially when you get into larger buildings, you know, 100, 200, 300 plus thousand square feet. So we decided to automate a lot of that drafting process for lighting, receptacles, switches, panels, kind of you name it in the electrical world. We're automating a lot of that processes, as well as sheet setup, riser diagrams, circuiting, and more. So that's kind of what led me to where I am today with Cowabunga Studios.
Very cool. It's like, I think I've talked about this before, but I'm also in the software world and do engineering. So it's nice to meet other people that are doing the same thing. Cause I think it, like, software has been so spread in other industries, but it does feel still like it's just barely getting tapped into as far as construction goes. So it's cool to hear someone else thinking about that. Which on that note, like, what made you realize when you were doing, you know, previously just working as an engineer that, like, these problems needed to be fixed? Like, most people just sit in the desk chair all day long and just do the work or draw the you know, the wires and the pipes, etc., on the plan. So, like, how, like, where were you? Do you, like, remember how you kind of came to this realization that the process needed to change?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of the work that we do is pretty repetitive, you know, whether it's mechanical, electrical, plumbing, architectural, you know, there's a lot of repetitive work in the design process. Now, each space is somewhat unique in how we get there, but a lot of things are pretty repetitive once you have a set space. So instead of being able to scale a company with more people, I thought, well, all these things are fixed, right? We have fixed fees. Everybody's pretty much on salaries. Your overhead is fixed. Like, the only way to make more money is to add more people. You're kind of like a law firm, but we don't actually work in hourly rates, right? We have fixed fees. So you get your lump sum amount of money for every project. And then hopefully you can do it for less than you got paid for. So the only way to really scale or become more profitable is to become more efficient in your processes. And if you've gone down the list of templates and checklists and training people and doing everything else along that list, like, you can only get so good. So the only way to actually improve your bottom line is to just become more efficient. And then the only way to do that in this day and age is through automation and software. So in the days of AutoCAD, nothing was smart. In the days now of Revit, everything is smart and has a database behind it. So then you can basically use that database to start to automate the processes of designing and drafting those buildings.
So I got a follow-up question and then I'll let Tim go. But as one word that I've been using a lot is augmentation versus automation. And I think there's places for both of them within the design process. It sounds like you're automating as much as you possibly can, or is there a balance between kind of those two forms of it? And then the next question that's kind of a follow-up to that is, like, error rate is critical. Like, I don't care how fast you design a building, if you can do it in one day or one click, if it's incorrect. So, like, where do you draw that line? Humans are inaccurate too, though. So, like, there's some level that's, you know, acceptable. It's kind of like the self-driving car rule, where it doesn't have to necessarily be better than, doesn't have to be perfect. It just has to be better than people. And then it's very valuable. So, like, how do you kind of see what you're designing fall on that scale?
Yeah. So in the construction industry, we're the only industry that somebody at the end of the day is responsible for that set of designs, right? You can build a self-driving car. No one person is responsible for that car. If it kills one person or a million people, nobody's responsible for it. No individual person. In construction, like, I sign and seal drawings, right? I am responsible for it at the end of the day. So you, at the end of the day, we have to take responsibility for what we put out there. That being said, in the automation process that we use, the designer or engineer goes through a list and designs each of those spaces per their design criteria and puts it in. So the way that we think about a lot of this is getting to a design document level set of drawings or 75% CDs and letting the engineer take it the rest of the way, right? Instead of working for weeks or months on end trying to get to a review set, why not do that in, you know, half a day to get a review set and then go from there to talk to the architects, to talk to the owner, to do all the coordination that you never get to, right? So it's augmenting that in the design process so that engineers can do what they do best and think through critical problems rather than spending all of their time in rote tasks.
Yeah, that's very augmentation focused, not automation focused, at least as far as the word that I've been using lately. But I think it actually is the solution to a lot of, like, people are scared of, like, my job's going to get taken. I'm like, no, it's not. Do they need you? They need you, Dylan, stamping that set of drawings no matter what. So I think that that's well said, and I appreciate your perspective on that. But I'm sure Tim has been antsy waiting for a question here.
So, Dylan, the world's changing by the second with new technology and all that kind of thing. So the HVAC world seems to have slow adapters. Why do you think that is? Because it's a billion-dollar industry, but the focus doesn't seem to be on building these new tools and integrating all this new technology to make it more efficient. So what do you think is the missing piece to the puzzle here?
Yeah, so there's two sides in the construction world, right? Like, we have real dollar values on the line for every project that we do, right? Like, real money is at stake in large amounts, right? Construction, commercial construction is $1 trillion in the US, right? So then you take HVAC, that's 12% of that. So you have $120 billion worth of HVAC project out there every year. So in that, like, you have real money that's on the line with every single project. So you can't afford to be wrong, and you still need to get the six projects that you have on your plate out the door. So what this more comes down to than anything is a cultural problem, right? If all your engineers are working on six projects, there's no way for them to innovate. Like, there's just not time in the day for that to happen. So you've got a company has to start putting money into R&D. And what that means is maybe in a firm of 50 or 100 people, that's one guy that's dedicated to innovation, to process improvement, to productivity improvements, to everything else that gets those projects out the door. So that instead of doing six, maybe they could do eight, or they can do six and just work 40 hours a week, right? Have a better life on the other side of that. So it is a cultural problem as well as a, you know, fee and everything else problem. So again, if we only have a set number of fees, engineers are kind of forced to do that, you know, 3, 6, 7 projects at a given time, because that's just what it's required to for that firm to be anywhere near profitable. So in allocating time, whether that's half a day for a smaller team for one person or a person that's dedicated to R&D and process improvement for the entire firm, is what's going to need to happen for firms to become more productive. So they can keep getting projects out the door, as well as implementing new technologies, new innovations through their projects.
Are there other industries? That kind of sounds, sounds like the impetus behind Cowabunga, where a lot of people, they try and solve to make a product cost less money and have a lower selling price, whereas you're solving for time. You're trying to give people their most important resource and unlock that time so they can innovate and do what they deem fit, right?
Yeah, if you ask any design engineer in the A&E industry what they want, or any architect, it's time. Like, that is the only thing that guys want, right? They want time to research stuff, time to QAQC drawings that they're waiting till addendum or better, you know, to deal with. They want time to learn new products, to sit in on, you know, new talks from manufacturers, right? Like, time is the only thing that they don't have more of.
Is that, and that's based off of the fee system, I'm guessing, like the way that the money flows through probably directs a lot of that process. And, like, do you see that, like, the financial piece, which I'm guessing pushes a lot of the way that, like, typical electrical or MEP firms run, like, has there been any innovation on that side of things to kind of make what you're describing of, like, a person for innovation or giving people back more time acceptable? Because, like, even if you're, you know, even if you theoretically became more efficient at your actual job, why wouldn't your boss just make you just do, why doesn't six projects become eight projects? You know, it's hard to fight against that, I think.
Can they sell that many, right? Like, are there that many projects actually that the firm can sell to take on, right? So that's one. Two is, when you look at the timelines of projects, they've increased over time, right? A hospital wants to be done in 12 months rather than 18 or 36, right? Mm-hmm. Everything is, there's less planning by the owner. It is like, we want this, we want it now, and we need it tomorrow, right? Mm-hmm. So there's less planning and more is getting forced on the design teams, which is why you see the rise of design build. Everything is to take time out of the schedule. So with the market, even if fees aren't going to really change, right? They pretty much are what they are. They're only going to go down. So with that, you're going to have a rise in the just speed to market for projects. That's why you see more design build, more CMC, construction manager as contractor. Like, you're just going to see more integration to reduce project schedules. That's what it's all leading to.
Nice. Well, we're coming up just on the end here. Any last notes?
More than anything, it's going to be a culture issue, right? Like, how do you become more productive and define